Parshas Tzav is the Kli Akar actually does not have comments on a whole lot of Parshas Tzav. He has a lot to say, like in every Parsha, but he focuses on just a few psukim and brings it out of the realm of practical, more to, you know, what's the take-home message? That's really what he does. And this is just a theme that we find with a lot of Mefarshim between the conversations surrounding the instructions for the Mishkan and between the conversations surrounding Karbanos, because it's not part of our existence and unfortunately hasn't been part of our existence for close to 2,000 years. So they say, well, what's the lekach? How can we make this relevant to who we are and go from there? So it was actually challenging to go through and figure out what to do specifically for this week, and actually most of the focus that I want to take is Pasuk Tes, because of its connection to Pesach, which is right around the corner. I do want to note that on page 5, I gave you Pasuk Chafalif, which is what I gave you because of its honorable mention. Okay, it's honorable mention. So if you want to get to it and look on it on your own, I made it a little smaller, and I apologize, but that's how I could distinguish it. That's Pasuk Chaval v'chlicheres asher tchushal bo yishaver. And the last page, actually, let's actually begin with that, because I thought this was a nice little thing just to take home. And that is Perek Zayin Pasuk Yud Aleph. That's the last page which I gave you. Perek Zayin Pasuk Yud Aleph. So let's just take a quick look at the Chumash. Perek Zayin Pasuk Yud Aleph, that is on page 570. Four, beginning of Shlishis. Okay, v'zoz Torah zevach hashlamim asher yakriv l'Hashem. So, of course, when you look at Parshas Tzav, you have to understand that it's a follow-up to Parshas Vayikra in many ways. Vayikra talks about five different types of karbanos, if I'm not mistaken. The Ola, Mincha, Shlamim, Chatas, and Asham. And and it goes into the different levels, depending on how much money a person has. Parshas Tzav follows along in those realms and goes into a little more detail, and of course also gives us the instructions for how the Kohanim are supposed to sanctify themselves and become a Kudash in order to serve in the Mishkan. This leads in, of course, to Parsha Shemini, when the dedication takes place, and when Aaron and his sons, and we know the story, and hopefully the night after, it's not the night of Mitzvah Pesach, but the night after, we'll have the next class, which will be on Parsha Shemini, and we'll get into his breakdown of that story. But anyway, so you see the beginning of Perek Zayin, Zos Taras HaHasham Kodesh Kodeshim Hu, and then at Shlishi, it's Zos Taras Zevach HaShlamim Asher Yakriv LaHashem, and it goes on from there. So on this, let's take a look at the Kli Akar. Now what I gave you is not his first commentary on this pasuk, but when he goes a little further into it, when he says, V'atzad HaRemez Yitachen Lefaresh, I'm now on the back page of the handout, page 6, V'atzad HaRemez Yitachen Lefaresh, Chamesh Pamim Zos Toras Shenemru Parsha Zo. Okay, so you see this pasuk begins V'zos Toras, and there was also earlier V'zos Toras, and there are a few more, and each, so if you look on page 570, Pasuk Zayin, see V'zos Toras HaMincha, etc. So you see that there are a number of them, and of course the first one is at the very beginning of the Parsha, Tzavis HaRomez Ben Avalimor, Zos Toras HaOlas. It says this five times, Zos Toras, that's mentioned in this Parsha, Keneged Chamisha Chamisha Torah, She'ozik Behem, Domu Ki'ila, Hikriv Chamisha, Minei Korbanos, Elu, Ola, U'mincha, Chatas, V'ashem U'shlamim. It says, you study Chumash, that's like bringing the Korbanos. Aval HaMiluim, Lo hayu kiim l'shav lo daros, the gemei amiluim, in other words, the 7 days of dedication that are talked about leading into the Yom HaShemini being the eighth day of the miluim, that was only a one-time thing, and that's not for generations. So we don't need to learn about this in order to be as if we are fulfilling the miluim. The miluim are not incumbent upon us. We don't have to do that. That was a one-time deal. Our job is to do karbanos, and if we can't do karbanos, then we can learn chumash, and chumash is like learning karbanos. So that's one of the reasons why I'm giving a class this year on Devarim in depth, because how often do people learn Devarim? And that's why we're doing the Kli Akar, so we can learn Parshas HaShavua as much as possible. Of course, we're focusing on Kli Akar, not on the Chumash. So, okay, small little problem. All right, anyway, that's why everybody has to do Shnayim Mikra before we do the part. Okay, anyway. V'chaderach zem atzinu chamesh zos Toras beParshas Metzora. We have the same thing five times. Zos Toras and Parshas Metzora. Ki gam sham amru Chazal, matikante shel mispar loshen hara im tamachachem hu yasuk Torah. What's the fix, what's the correction for saying Lashon Hara? No, excuse me, not Misbar. Shall Misapir Lashon Hara. Of one who tells Lashon Hara, yes. In Tam B'chachem Yasef B'Torah. You gotta learn Torah, and that's how you fix your errors. V'im Kain, HaTorah Metzelos Min Lashon Hara, Misabir Chamisha Min Yitzaras Elu. And so it's demonstrating for us that the Torah saves us from the five different kinds of tzaras, which are the result of lashon hara. Every book in the Torah talks about punishments that come from the sin of speaking, and we you don't have to think too hard to figure out what they are. You know, you could just look at I didn't even think about this. But the sins of speech, one thing that Avram says he's considered punished for, but Moedaki Roshana, and I'm sure there are more. I'm not saying that Yosef's interpretation of his dreams, maybe the way the brothers reacted to it, maybe they're punished for that. Moshe at the burning bush, right? He says, "V'heim lo yaminuli." Of course, Taras in Vayikra. Miriam is in Bamidbar. The spies are in Bamidbar. And in the book of Devarim, there are laws surrounding. Like, I don't know. Let's say like Rachel Bamecha. I don't think it's in. Is that in Parshas Ketzet? I'd say there's definitely laws surrounding the speech. Anyway, so it's mentioned in every single book of the Torah. So it's important to bear that in mind. So Kach Kar Karbonos. So back in the middle of that paragraph, Kach Karbonos Elu Osik B'Chamisha Sfarim Elu Domek Elu Karbon. Excuse me. Kilu Hakriv Chamisha Minei Karbonos Elu. Okay, and then he goes into detail. So it's, if you study the Chumash, all five books, then it says if you brought these korbanos, and he goes into detail about each one. Ki Yosef says Breishis Domo Ki Ilu Ikriv Ola. If you study Breishis, it's like doing an Ola. The Zos Tarasa Ola Ki Vomavuar Torasa Ola Ki Hevel Ikriv Ola Mebcharos. No, Chinoach. All the people who bring korbanos in the book of Breishis, they're all bringing an Ola. Okay, skip to the middle of this third to last line. The second to last full line. Yosef says Breishmos Ki Ilu Ikriv Mincha. He called Minchas Bos. Baos matzah uve sefer zem weren't called the name matzah. Okay, all the rules of matzah, right? In Parshas Bo, for example, all the rules of matzah are there, and mincha is brought with a matzah, as we're going to see when we study the component of his commentary in the parsha that focuses on how korbanos are brought with matzahs, etc. And so there you have it. And he brings a few more proofs. Skip to the next paragraph. Yosef was sefer vayikro kilu kriv chatas. Vayikra correlates to the carbon chatas, the sin offering. Even though all the carbonos are talked about in Sefer Yikra, obviously, I mean, that's what Parshas Vayikra and Tzav is all about. Most of the Sefer, the bulk of the Sefer, the gist of the Sefer comes from sin offerings. Okay, so he's suggesting that, and this actually is in line with the Rambam, if I'm not mistaken, that the karban, to a degree, that the karbanos, the whole karban system, is in a way a response to the egel, and the egel of course was a sin which required a karban chatas, and so therefore all vayikra is in a sense its own big karban chatas. Next paragraph, Yosef says, "Bar Midbar, Kilu Kriv Asham, Kibon Emar Kol Torasa Asham, Parshas Naso." So the rules of Korban Hashem are gone into greater detail in the book of Bamidbar as well. So it's mentioned there again for whatever new ideas mentioned there beyond what's in Vayikra. As he mentioned before, Vayikra covers everything, but if there are more details elsewhere, so that in particular the Hashem, it's given the credit there. And the last one is Vaosuk Sevidvarim Kilu Kriv Shlamim, Kiparchki Zivon Nemar Vizvakta Shlamim Yachalta Sham. So some of the just as we saw for the Asham, that additional details about Asham are mentioned in Bamidbar, so the same thing applies with respect to the Karban Shlamim in the book of Devarim. Okay, you can go into the detail. I just wanted to show you that because it's a nice thought to bring home that, you know, we say with respect to Tfilo, Neshalma Parnas Sfaseinu, that our davening is supposed to replace Karbanos, and that's on a daily basis, but just throughout the year. If a person studies Chumash, so if a person does Shnai Mikra, there you go. It's my Karban. It's the way that I can do a Karban without a Beis Hamikdash. And I thought that's a nice little lekach to take. Yes, Rabbi.
I'm just wondering the fact that Borim is Torah's Moshe doesn't touch us at all.
No, I mean, I think that he's just pinpointing a specific mentioning of Karbanos. and in this case, particularly Shlamim. So that's what he's bringing out. I don't think that he's meaning. But notice where it is. It's in Kisavo. So you're right that most of the book of Devarim is Neum Moshe. It's Moshe's speech. Moshe is actually three speeches in Devarim. The first one is the introduction until like Perek Hay of Devarim, and the next one goes all the way until Kisavo. Once he gets into Kisavo, you know, the narrative continues. So that the fact that that's in Kisavo indicates that that it's exactly. You know, it's not Moshe's speech anymore. Okay, so he's back to talking about it as opposed to giving a speech, a goodbye speech. Okay, good point. All right, so we move on. Let's look at page 3 in the booklet here. And if we have time, we'll get back to the beginning. There's some important lessons as well, but because of the connection to Pesach, as I mentioned before, I thought this was a timely thing to discuss. Okay, so it's actually in Perek Vav, so let's turn back. It's on page 570, and it's with regard to Zos Torah Samenchos. Actually, let's take a look at the entire little paragraph here, starting with Pasuk Zayin through Pasuk Yud Aleph. Okay, Zos Taras and Chakre was Sabanei Aaron L'Pnei Hashem L'Pnei Amizbeach. This is the rule of the mincha offering, the mule offering, which is going to be brought by Aaron's sons. Behirim Menu Kumsomi Shalosam Chamisham Navis Kol Avnashal Chav Yekpi Amizbeach Reichin Chachas Kvesal Hashem. So he's giving us the measurements about how much solace they're supposed to bring and how much shemen they're supposed to bring, which is all part of what the Torah, the Korban Mincha is. Korban Mincha comprises of solace, shemen, and livona. Livona is frankincense. Been learning these chapters, these parshas with the kids in the shul, and they've been loving their favorite thing of all time is livona, because frankincense sounds like Frankenstein and all that stuff. Okay. Anyway, pasuk tes v'anoseres v'mena yochlu aron v'vana. Whatever's left over beyond what's burned is meant for Aaron and his sons. And what are they supposed to do with this mincha concoction? Matzos te'achel b'makom kadosh b'chatzar al-moled yocholua. They're supposed to make it into matzos. Okay? Pancake? Okay? Right, maybe a little matzah brine? I don't know. Right? Okay. Lo se'afeh chameitz. So be careful not to make it into chameitz. Chakam nasati v'sumei. Yishoy kodesh kodeshim hi kachatas v'cha asham. It's the holiest thing. Okay, Kodesh Kodeshim is not to be confused with HaKodesh HaKodeshim, which is the Holy of Holies. Mm-hmm. Kodesh Kodeshim, a lot of things in the Torah are described as Kodesh Kodeshim being very something which is very holy, but not to be confused with the place, which is the Kodesh Kodeshim. Kol Zachar B'vnei Aaron, Yochaleno, all the children, all the males of Aaron's kin are supposed to eat it. Chak alone, there is a Kamesh Hashem, Kol Shay Gabahem Mikdash, and whoever touches them shall become holy. Okay, so this is what we're talking about. And in the context of the Korban Mincha, we see that we're told about matzah. And we're told about nachametz, okay? Which of course is reminiscent. It sounds very much like Pesach. And so he jumps on that and tells us about what's the difference between matzah and chametz and why this is something which is so significant. Okay, so let's take a look at the Kli Yakar and see what he says. Now, I had to edit it, but it's really going to take us through the next two pages. And hopefully we'll get through all of it, and then confident we're going to have time to do a little more on the earlier part of the parsha. Okay, matzos te'achel makom kadosh b'chatzar o'moed yechlo. Perish Rashi, b'makom kadosh ve'ezehu b'chatzar o'moed. So Rashi says, what is the makom kadosh? So just to I remember hearing Rabbi Lamb say on a number of occasions, always look. So what does Rashi say here? Makom kadosh ve'ezehu b'chatzar o'el moed. Okay, so that's the quote which he gave us. Bachatzar Oel Moed. Okay? Umikom Makom, he says, Makom Kodesh Miutaras. He says, if you're going to tell us that Matzos Techel, Makom Kadosh, Bachatzar Oel Moed, so what do you need, Makom Kadosh? You don't need to tell us Makom Kadosh. We know, the Chatzar Oel Moed, that is a Makom Kadosh. And he says, Gam Tochal Yochalua, Echad Mei Miutar. If you're going to tell us, eat it, okay, we got it. You know, you can tell me to eat it once, and I got it. That's the mitzvah, that's how it's supposed to be done. Don't tell me that you should eat lo se'achel, or yochalua, I'm sorry, matzos te'achel, and b'chatzar o'moed yochalua, you're telling me to eat it twice. I got it! Kadosh. Even though that place is kadosh, mikom makom ein kped ala ocha mitzad kedushas ha'makom, ki mitzad she'tzarich la'asmich achilaso, el achilas ha'mizbeach la'rosh, she'kmo she'achilas ha'mizbeach mechaper, he's telling us that what's the point of saying b'makom kadosh? So yeah, Chatzar HaMoed, to be as close to the Mizbeach as possible, because we are trying to bring about an atonement of some kind, just as the Mizbeach atones, so too the eating that's supposed to be done here through the Karban Mincha is also atoning. Amnah. Bechinas hana'echelas hi ha'matza, mitzad ha'yosa nikiyah min ha'sa'or, yesh matzah tzad kedusha. So he says, on the one hand, it's cleaner than Seor. What's Seor? Seor is sourdough. Sourdough is a rising agent, and it's one of the things which we're familiar with from other. I think there are many midrashim surrounding Seor and how Seor Shabaisa. What does it symbolize? Seor Shabaisa is like gasas haruach, yitzhara. Right? And that's some of the stuff which we'll hopefully get back to. So you aside from that, he says that it's cleaner. It's neater. So you want to eat that makom kadosh. When you're eating matzah, you want to be in a holy place. On the fact that it says that you have to eat this in the courtyard of the Ol Moed, okay, that's one of the depictions here. And as we saw in Pasuk Yud said, "Don't eat chametz. I have presented it as their share for my fire offerings." Okay? Chelkom nasati osa mei ishoi. Okay? Kodesh kodeshim hi kachadas v'chosham. So what's the point? Chelkom nasati osa mei ishoi. Akein tzrichim shneem lios b'mechitza achas. The two of them need to be in one mechitza. What do you mean? Amasha amar matzos techel makom kodosh. Nasan tabi amar kodesh kodeshim hi kachadas v'chosham. Ki achatas v'chosham aboim al kaparas achit nikru kodesh kodeshim. The sin offering and the guilt offering, which come because they bring about an atonement for the sin, they are called kodesh kodeshim. Ki atzad gamur shelo chataklal kodeshu l'Hashem. Okay? The tzadik gamur, the complete tzadik who never sins, kodesh hu l'Hashem. Here, there's a distinction which is being made here. And here's where we get into the symbolism. What's matzah? Matzah is like the tzaddik. Right? Simple, perfect, no problems whatsoever. Very easygoing. But what is chametz? Chametz is like the sinner because it rises, it has haughtiness. But what's the point? Hachote v'shav b'tshuva hu kodesh ha-kodeshim. Okay, once we get out of the realm of talking specifically about matzah and about chametz, we're talking about people. He says the tzaddik's great, but who's amazing? Who's really amazing? The person who tasted sin and does tshuva. Okay, ki makom shaval tshuva ondim ein tzaddikim gemurim yicholim lamod ba. This is a phrase from the Gemara Brachos we're all familiar with, that where the baal tshuva stands, the tzaddik gemur can't be there. Okay, because the baal tshuva knows what sin tastes like. It's awesome, it's so delicious to taste, and he knows what it's like.
You're tempting me, Rabbi.
I'm tempting you. Right? There's midrash, and I don't remember where it is, but I know it's in Vayikra. Who said the midrash says a person shouldn't say, "I don't want to eat chazer because it's disgusting." The person should say, "I want to eat it. What can I do? Because my master said you can't eat it." Okay. Yeah, the Ramban, but I think the Midrash came before the Ramban. Okay, it's a Midrash, yeah. Okay, and so the point is, somebody, I have never tasted bacon, Baruch Hashem, but I've heard that bacon is amazingly delicious. Hey, there are comedians that I've listened to who just go on. Jim Gaffigan is a comedian who has like minutes and minutes and minutes and minutes and minutes of routine about bacon. And he goes on. He has this part of his routine is to like make jokes about his jokes. Like he'll put in a different voice, and he'll say like, "What, another bacon joke? Yes!" And then he'll go on with another bacon joke about how delicious bacon. So I can only imagine what it tastes like. But somebody who's tasted it, for example, okay, I mean, how big of a sin is it? I mean, it's obviously it's against the Torah, but somebody who's tasted it knows what they're giving up. It's unbelievable, right? If it's that delicious. I know, you're gone. He's out of here. Okay. Okay. All right. Anyway, so Chazal Amar Sha'osa Tshuva Me'ava Az Donos Nasan Lo Kazchuyos. Somebody who does tshuva out of love, Chazal tell us, the Gemara and Yoma, their purposeful sins become like merits to them. Right, it's a great, one of the reasons why Parshas Vayelech is around Shavuot Shuva, it's because it talks about so much about Shuva. Right? A real Baal Shuva who has tasted sin and turned away from it, has achieved a level that the greatest tzaddik can't get to. So the sin offering is Kodesh Kodeshim, is the holiest thing. Okay, so the matzah, which distances, it could be mixed with Seor, but we say, no, we're getting past that. We don't want that. We're removing the Seor from the situation. So he says that's why it's Kodesh Kodeshim. Okay? So now that we've said that matzah is Kodesh Kodeshim because it's removed the Seor. Right? The Seor doesn't even come in contact. So now we have to understand why distancing the Seor is so special. Derech HaEchad Hu, Gedivrei Rabbi Alexandri. The first one follows the viewpoint of Rabbi Alexandri, Shamar, which is in Brachos. Ritzoneinu la'asos ritzoncha. We want to do your will, God. What's the problem? Or should be easy ma'akev. Okay, it's the sourdough in the dough which prevents us from doing your will. Okay, we want to be matzah. We want to be, but there's this chametz. There's this haughtiness. There's this or. There's something which just brings us to a different level of what we should be. Okay, so I don't think we did that. We did that piece last. We didn't have our class last week. Right? We didn't have our class because things were canceled. I wasn't around actually. So here he's saying that the chatas, the asham, the sin offering, the guilt offering, they are kodesh kodeshim. Through bringing a carbon, adam zoveach yitro, a person is actually sacrificing his yitzer. Where he's seeking out, and he is no longer. In other words, he's trying to remove that sinful side through the bringing of the carbon. Al-Kain, gam ha-mincha, ba'a nekiya min ha-sa'or. So also, even the carbon mincha has to be free of sa'or. Amnam, shtei alechem, shel atzeres, ba'u dafka chametz. Okay, but the shtei alechem, right, this is one of the very unique circumstances where you have a carbon which is specifically out of bread. The shtei alechem, the special carbon, shtei alechem for Shavuos, it has chametz. Why? Kil malei yitzahara lo ayu ha tachtonim srichim el haTorah yoser min ha'elyonim. What do we celebrate on Shavuos? The giving of the Torah. And if we didn't have the yitzahara, so in other words, the whole thing about Shavuos is that it's kind of funny because we talk about we're celebrating the Torah, but he says, what are we really celebrating? We're celebrating the Yetzirah. What are you talking about? No. What do you mean we're celebrating the Yetzirah? Because why do we need the Torah? This is the argument Moshe Rabbeinu gave. No, not to stop the Yetzirah. Because we have a Yetzirah. Okay, Moshe goes up on Har Sinai. The Malachim say, you don't deserve a Torah. And Moshe says, what do you mean we don't even deserve a Torah? What do you need a Torah for? You don't have a Yetzirah. We need a Torah to be able to correct ourselves. So the Malachim say, you're right, we don't have any Yetzirah. Take the Torah. It says, lo ayu tachtonim tzrichan al Torah. You wouldn't need your Torah. Ki b'tayna zu notzach Moshe Malachim. That's what Moshe said to the angels. You don't have a Yetzirah, so what do you need the Torah for? V'ochim tzias a Yetzirah echrechi. It's so significant. If people, we need a Yetzirah, because without a Yetzirah, Why would a man be driven to do anything in life? He wouldn't build a house. Why do you want to build a house? Oh, so I should have a better house than this guy. Why does a person get married? Because he wants to have relations with a woman. Of course, that's the Yitzhara. But on account of that, then he has children. He has children which he has to raise, which he has to support. And so the Yitzhara is what drives all this stuff. Okay, but once you have the Torah, that's the antidote to the bad ways that the Yetzirah may cause a person to drive. You look nowadays, you see that they're from Yidden in prison. Okay, yeah, because they have a Yetzirah. The Torah is supposed to be a tablet. Unfortunately, the tablet doesn't always work. How many times does a doctor give somebody medication and say, this is going to help you? And lo aleinu, doesn't help the person. Not every medication works for everybody. It should be, it could be, but there are other obstructions that get in the way. Aval hatoda, the carbon toda, It had both chametz and matzah. Why? Because the matzah is showing that the person has gotten past that illness. I don't mean illness, not a sickness, but whatever is driving the person to do bad. The four people who need to give thanks. The one who crossed the sea, the one, and this is Tilm Kaf Zayin. Tilm Kaf Zayin, by the way, is the Tehillim which is designated for Yom HaTzmut, because it talks about the people who go through the different journeys that it would take in order to bring, to say Birchas HaGomel, right? For example, one who crosses the sea, one who crosses the desert, one who recovers from illness, and the one who gets out of prison. Okay, those are the four, because it has so much reference to Hodu Lashem Kitov or Yodu Lashem Kitov, I think, and also the ways that people crossed in order to get back to the land of Israel after 48, so they dedicated that chapter to be the chapter for Yom HaAtzmaut, which is a shir in of itself. But anyway, Kerushayim Birshus Liblam. So the difference between those who have gone through that is that they have done the submission of their soul, so to speak, and their tshuva. So that's on the one hand. On the other hand, you have the Rishayim who are Birshus Liblam. They're still in their own Rishus, so to speak. He says that bringing the Karban Todah is, in a sense, it's like sacrificing Yetzer Hara. Okay? How so? We have to think about it. What does it mean to bring the Karban Todah? A person is basically calling together all that they need to be thankful for and all they need to be grateful for. And the fact that they're bringing all their gratitude for whatever it is that they've been through, but to the point that they are channeling all their energies towards God, is in a way saying, God, I'm submitting. You know, that I understand that all that I need to be grateful for is really coming from... Right. But...
Yeah.
It's coming from you, because it's so easy for a person to say, oh, look what happened, this is great, this is fantastic, and it's all but what does the person say? He says, no, God, it's coming from you. And so what's the person doing? He says, no, it's not me. And I'm throwing my yitzhar out the door because I'm giving myself up to the Baruch Shalom through saying thanks. Alkein mevi laos chalos matzos nikios v'nasaor. So when a person brings a carbon toda, they're bringing matzos which don't have sor. Al v'kol makom tzarech adayin el yetzer hara l'kiyum amin. Alkein ayugam chalos matzos. But the fact of the matter is, what's a carbon toda, for example? I had a child, carbon toda. Okay, I want to have another child, which means I need to submit to my yetzer hara. Okay, fine, I'll submit. But I'm going to remember what it's all about. So the carbon toda is unique because it combines both. There's three times matzah for the one chametz. That's the proportion and the ratio that you have when it comes to the bringing of the chalos matzos, etc. You have to look it up and see. What's the reason? That a person needs to divide one's day into studying Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud. That's three parts of one day. And the fourth part of one day is work, physical exercise, whatever it is that eating, whatever it means that a person needs to do. So, in other words, there's symbolism here that even in the Todah, which is a person is giving up oneself in a sense through submission to God, but it's not completely, because there's, and through getting rid of the Yetzer Hara, but you're not completely getting rid of the Yetzer Hara, because you want to continue doing what you're doing, which is good, which is fine, because this format of the Yetzer Hara is good for the advancement of society and humanity and etc. But at the same time, there has to be some kind of a balance, and that balance is 3-1. 3-1 matzah versus chametz, 3-1 mikra mishnah talmud versus kiyum gufo, etc. That is that's the parallel which he presents us here. When it comes to the mincha of the sinner, there's no chametz involved. Okay, there's a distinction. We just talked about the carbon toda. Now he's looking at the carbon chatas. Nuchalim aber hefach zeh. That somebody who's bringing a carbon chatas, what does it take to bring a carbon chatas? A person who brings a carbon chatas isn't a person who's saying, let me sin and I'll return, I'm going to sin, I'm going to return. A person who brings a carbon chatas, if I sin, if I make a sin, and if I do a sin and it's It's b'shogeg because that's really what a karban chatas is. A karban chatas for a mezid is a different. It's a different conversation. Okay, a karban chatas is generally speaking a sin b'shogeg. Okay, if I sin b'shogeg, you don't know about it. 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 I know about it. Okay, it's between me and God. Okay, and if nobody else knows about it, if I'm coming to the conclusion that I need to bring a karban chatas, what am I saying? Saying, God, you know about it. You're the only one who knows about it. And I recognize, I've done a cheshbon nefesh, I realize I messed up here. I did something very wrong. And if I'm going to go through the expense of bringing an animal, either that I own, which is not cheap, or an animal that I'm going to buy, in order to, which is certainly not cheap, in order to bring it and give it to God, then what am I saying? I'm saying that my relationship with God is more important to me than that sin. Okay, and that's the reason why I'm going to this expense and to this journey, and I'm taking off from work and I'm going to the Beis HaMikdash in order to square away my mess up between me and the Rabbanu Shel Olam. What have I done? I've gone through a tshuva process. I must have gone through a tshuva process because
you know, God, then you can't concede, and, you know.
Right? Because why on earth would anybody do this unless they mean it? Because if I say, look, I sin, and you know what? It's only between me and God, and you know what? Who cares? Why would I ever bring a karban chatas? Right, how many times do people say, look, I'm going to, I would imagine, I've never really told people, but I can imagine. Somebody says, you know what? When I do such and such sin, I'm going to personally find myself, you know, $50. I'm going to give $50 to tzedakah. Okay, and then the person... Let's say a person goes through that process and they're actually good about it. They realize, you know what? I really can't overcome this sin. Heck with it. I can't afford these $50 every time. I can't do it anymore. Yeah. Okay? To me and God, forget it. You know, that's it. But if a person really said, you know what? I have a problem and I'm going to deal with this by finding myself every time, then the fact that they keep doing it, they keep following through on their personal penance indicates that it's meaningful to them. And that I really am trying. I'm trying, God. It's just a very difficult thing, and I keep on.
But it's meaningful. Trying.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. Correct. I was just listening to yesterday, Rabbi Yaakov Horowitz, who's a fantastic individual in many ways. See, he gave a class a lecture to the YU Smichim program about how to deal with.
It's not Boston, is it?
No. Rabbi Yaakov Horowitz. He lives in Muncie. He's a principal of. I don't remember what the name of his yeshiva is. Anyway, he's a very interesting guy. He's a very strong advocate for victims of abuse, and he has a lot of people reach out to him when their children, for example, are no longer observant and religious, and the challenges they're going through, especially when they're young and teenagers. He's been going a few years to this program called I don't remember what it's called. Something where he goes there for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, to be there with kids who are. They're not present in the firm world right now. But their life's really screwed up. And he told an amazing story. I don't know where it is. It's not Footsteps. Something else. It's not Footsteps. It's something else. Okay. And he spoke about Footsteps because there was just an article in the New York Times about Footsteps. But he mentioned it. I don't remember what the name of this program is. But anyway, he told an amazing story about this past year in Rosh Hashanah. People who are getting out of substance abuse. Footsteps is different. Footsteps is people who have left religion. These are people who have gone through substance abuse. I don't remember the name of the organization. But anyway, so he told an amazing story just yesterday that I saw this, and he told an amazing story which I actually told here before Ne'ila, because it's such an incredible story about people who are going through difficult times. And the point, why do I mention it? Because In the cases that he's describing, there are people who they want to get their life back on track. They really do. But they recognize that they have a problem. And so there was a specific insight that he had that I wanted to share with you, but I lost my train of thought. But anyway, the point being that that a person who recognizes that I've done something wrong and I want to get past it is in a different place than a person who just hides everything and it's not really such a big deal. There was something. Hold on a second. I'm doing this right. So there was a point that he specifically made. which I just... Okay, anyway. So let's go back into the text here. Okay. The person who brings the carbon chatas has gotten rid of the internal seor. But somebody who's bringing a carbon toda after he's gone through yisurim suffering that causes him to do tshuva, vaday nishabo roshim. There's still an influence of some kind from the seor apnimi. Okay, in other words, he gets it that God, you've knocked me down, and so therefore I understand what's there. But tedavat askil, as he says, now that this is the kli upper talking to us, he says you should know ki chametz osios matza beim shavim b'mivta ki ahi ve'ches mischalvim be'osios alches ein. We saw something else. We saw this the last time we had this class. We saw, I think he mixed around the letters. Bays and Fay. I don't remember what the purpose was the last time that we saw this. But anyway, he says the Chametz and Matzah, they're the same letters. Okay? Ches, I'm sorry, Mem Tzadi obviously is the same. And Ches and Hey, they can be mixed because they're both Osios Gronios. And of course, if you know how some people pronounce the Ches, I mean, just look at Hanukkah. Okay? Hanukkah, past the Hala. Okay? Or the ones who actually know what they're talking about. It's like Ha, Ha. You know, Hanukkah. So there is clearly a relationship between the two letters, and they can be mixed around, intercrossed between them. So he says, "Ach sheyesh lachametz mispar shalosh yisrael matzah." He says, "Now he switches to the gematria for a second. How much is ches? 8. How much is hay? 5. So the difference between these two is a number 3. Uchenegid zeh yakenegid kol chalas chametz shalosh lamatzah kadesh yu shavim bechamus. So he says that's why every time you have a matzah, you got 3 for every 1 chametz. Because you have to have the word matzah plus 3, and then the chametz is what it is. The yesh b'zeremes sheyesh li yitzhara yisron al yitzhar tov. So there's another hint that the yitzhara has something over the yitzhar tov mispar shalosh, and that's the number 3. Because remember, yitzhara equals chametz, yitzhar tov equals matzah, and so it has 3 over the yitzhar tov. Heim shalosh tainos she. He says, "Zochar b'sefer Chovos Halavavos sheyesh liyetzer hara al hayetzer tov." Now, I'm not an expert in Chovos Halavavos. I don't even know where to look, but he mentions this. And actually, Saul Kalman was giving his class on Chovos Halavavos, and I said, "I asked him, what does the yetzer hara have over the yetzer tov?" He says, "Oh, it's all over the Chovos Halavavos." Okay, so we have to look that up and find it. But anyway, im yavo l'natzcho azay amdu kenegdo chut hamishulash b'mikra u'mishnah u'talmud. So if the yetzer hara is defeating the Yetzer Tov, then how does the Yetzer Tov come back to defeat the Yetzer Hara? Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Vaz Yepesha Devar B'nehem, Chetzi L'Hashem, Chetzi L'Hashem. Okay, if you got Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud going for you, along with your Yetzer Tov, so that's your Chetzi L'Hashem, and that's how you have balance in your life. As long as you're learning Torah, he says, as long as you're learning Torah, if you have, you know, pleasures of the guf, which aren't necessarily bad, they're not necessarily bad, right? But it's the Yetzer Hara which drives that. But somebody's going to say that having relations with one's wife is a bad thing? No, but what drives that? The Yetzer Hara. Somebody's going to say that building a house is bad? No. But what drives that? The Yetzer Hara. And so, and this is pleasures of the goof. Okay, fine, beautiful. So pleasures of the goof is one side, and the balance on the other side, along with the Yetzer Tov, is Mikra Mishnah Talmud. Okay, Derek Shani.
So what is it? You have to do these three things.
Right, exactly. In other words, if a person wants to be a matzah person, okay, a matzah person is somebody who is, you know, I don't want to say tzadik gamur, but certainly a baal tshuva. I mean, you know, these are both good levels.
To get from 5 to 8, do those 3.
What?
To get from 5 to 8, do those 3.
Right. You have to balance out because the chametz is so drawing, it's so enticing. Okay, one of the reasons for the Manishtana is. What's the first question of Manishtana? Manishtana is that right? Shebichal elos ano ochlim chametz matzah. Halal azeh kulo matzah. Because when you have a challah cover on the table and you're going to lift it up, what do I want to see? I want to see challah there. Are you kidding? Who wants to see matzah? Nobody wants to see matzah. And what did you do 2 minutes ago? You just took out a matzah and you broke it. Get that matzah out of here. I want to see chametz.
Yeah.
Aronis and challah. Because chametz is enticing. Chametz is, you know, we love chametz. Who doesn't love challah? Maybe only a person who's allergic to gluten. Okay, or you get gluten. Okay, gluten free. But they also don't like matzah. Okay, but you know, if you give me a choice any day between chametz and matzah, I think most normal people will say, give me the chametz. I got a few people who like matzah. Okay, like, whatever. Not talking about that. Okay, but if you, but at the same time, but if you want to achieve, you know, the metaphor of chametz matzah, what do you want to achieve? Yeah, you know, yeah, I enjoy life and I want to be, but I would love to be a matzah person. I would love it because that means that I'm closer to the Ribono Shel Olam, I think. But at the same time, you have the Sor Sheva Isa, which is drawing us. That's what the Gemara Brachos tells us. All right, Derech Hasheni Hu Hayoter Nachon Mekarov L'Shmo. Okay, so even if you like the first one, he says the second one's even better. Okay. Shematza siman al achna ki isas matza she'enu ola l'mala. Matza is a sign of achna, submission, just like the dough of matza which does not rise. Umatza shalchag pesach yochiach ki hu siman cheirus gula, and the matza of pesach is a symbol of freedom and redemption. Lefishalo chashak Hashem Yisrael kiim ba'avur shem imatim esatzmam. Because why did God want Israel? Because they belittle themselves. K'moshe lamdu min pasuk lomu ribchem mikol ha'amim chashak Hashem lachem ki atem ha'me'at yimah Hashem shoel mi'imah ki'im l'yira. Okay, shahanava mivili the yira. These are some of the great psukim from Devarim, from the book of Devarim, which tell us about why God loves the Jewish people or what God wants of the Jewish people. God says in Devarim Zayin, lomu ribchem mikol ha'amim chashak Hashem lachem. God didn't take us because we're so many, because we're the most numerous of nations with the smallest of nations. And it continues to this day. And even though we're the smallest of nations, who is the most known of the minorities of nations? You know, I was at APAC and Elon Gold was the comedian there. And he had a great line. He says, you know, it's amazing. You know, we are the Jews, right? And everyone who is not us are the non-Jews. He says, look at the numbers in the world. Billion Catholics, billion Muslims, okay? We are non-Catholics. We are non-Muslims. Okay? So what kind of chutzpah do we have that we are the Jews and everyone else, they're the non-Jews? Where did that come from? Okay? But that's what it is. He says, Lo Meirubachem, it's not because of your numbers. Atem ha-ma'at. You're always going to be ha-ma'at. But nonetheless, you're significant. There's so much that you bring to the world. Okay? How many people have heard about the, you know, there may be a billion people in Indonesia, who knows, or in India, okay? But what does everybody talk about? Oh, Israel, Palestine. I mean, come on, what is that? Why is Palestine the biggest issue when there's so much garbage going on in the rest of the world? So much abuse of power, so much abuse of people. I mean, just horrible things going on in the world. But the UN focus on Israel. Why? Because it's Lo Meirubachem. It's atem ha-ma'at, but you're significant. And you're going to remain significant in the eyes of people just because of who you are. Okay? So he says, and what does God ask of you? Just kiyum liyiras Hashem elokecha, lalechus bedrachav la'avos. So to fear God, to love God, to go in his ways. What does he say? Sheha'anava mivia lidei yira. Okay, that's something that I actually talked about on Shabbos. Hanava mivia lidei yira. That's the... It was the Rabbeinu Bechaya in his introduction to the book of Vayikra, where he quoted the Pasuk of Mishlei, where he talks about that anava is the key to yira and to kavod and to osher and to chay. That's the Pasuk of Mishlei. So he's making the same point over here, and it's humility which brings a person to fear God. Below, oh, not only that, shachna metzuya metachtonim, that this submission exists in the lower spheres, in other words, on earth, biyoter lefize biyoter tigle. So the more that this submission is revealed, then you can see and you can fear Malchus Shemayim, ki hu yisbarach eyus levesh ve'eno nuvado, because he is adorned splendidly and there is none like him. V'zeu ta'am galus Mitzrayim, and he says this is the reason for galus Mitzrayim. Now, it's an amazing question that we have to ask that. I mean, you know, God has his relationship with Avraham and Yaakov, okay, and he makes his promise to Avram, you're going to be strangers in a strange land. Okay, now, you know, really? Was that really necessary? I mean, couldn't we just stay happy in the land of Canaan, and God gives you the land, and You know, you just become numerous, and you know, it's like populations that are coming overwrought, and where cult, you know, people say that the Palestinian population is going to overrun the Jewish population. Is it true? From what I understand, their birth rates are going down, and the Jewish ones are going up, despite what you might think about the Arab womb. Okay, that's the reality because of modernization and because of what's going on in the world, and so is it always true that, I mean, is it true that that's always going to happen? I don't know, but he says, but getting back to the point, he says, if the Jews had stayed there and if they were going to multiply the way that they ended up multiplying, wouldn't they eventually overrun the different nations? If you think about it, when the Bnei Israel come back to Canaan after Yetzias Mitzrayim, so they have an army of 600,000. Okay, every single city state that they attack doesn't stand a chance. Right? They, you know, the only one that they lose to is the first battle of Ai, really. The first battle of Ai, and it's because of Achan stealing from the Cherub. Okay, but how many people did they send? A couple hundred. No, like 36, it says. Kish Loshim, like 36, around 36 died. Some people say it was really only one person, it was equivalent. But anyway, but how many people did they send in there? Not too many. In most battles that they fought, they're sending just a handful. I mean, just a tiny percentage. A thousand here, a couple hundred here, a few thousand. Not a big deal at all. Why? Because they didn't need a lot in order to destroy. But if they had just come in as a ravaging horde, 600,000 against these city-states, they would have destroyed everything in their path. Okay? And so you think that they couldn't have just eventually overtaken the land just by dint of their numbers? Of course they could have. So he says, "V'zetam galus Mitzrayim." This is the reason for galus Mitzrayim. Lechnien b'kor oni, that they should see what it means to suffer and to be impoverished. V'chasu b'shem Hashem, so that they need God by de'achna and through their submission to God. Yatzu lecherus min amalchios v'nichmasu be'omachu shemayim. Because they needed God, they had to submit to God, they had to recognize, because if everything was just hunky-dory in the land of Canaan, what do you need God for? But when you're slaves, you say, how do I get out of this? There's only one way I get out of this. The Ribono Shel Olam. And once they're no longer submitting to other kingdoms, now, where are they? They're tachas kanfei shechina. U'lefikach dina chametz b'sreifa davka. And he says, this is why, with chametz, you got to burn it. Anybody who is haughty, they're judged with fire. Somebody who wants to get up in this world, in the same way that chametz rises, where does chametz rise? So or shabaisa, again, it's symbolic, but it's that the dough rises because it's haughty. Then that type of person is nidon ba'esh. I don't mean that you have to burn the person at the stake, but it's nidon ba'esh asher tevo la'alos l'mala. It's the fire, right? You want to raise yourself up and up and up. But what does fire do? Up and up and up and up. But what does fire do? If you raise yourself up and up and up and up in the sense of haughtiness, well, it you're like, it's like fire. You're trying to be like se'or, to be delicious. But the bottom line is, you're like fire. What does fire do?
It goes up and forth,
dissipates, it destroys. I mean, everything that's negative about fire is he says what the punishment of trying to be misgoeh, somebody's trying to be haughty. The fikach dina chametz b'mashu, and that's why when it comes to chametz being usur, when at a time when chametz is completely forbidden, it's b'mashu. Even the slightest amount of haughtiness, kibuchol amidos, tzarech adam lelech b'derech mumutza chutz min agayva. Every midah you should strengthen and should be greater, except for gaiva. Gaiva, a person should have none whatsoever. And there's a difference, by the way, between gaiva and knowing who you are. Like I don't remember where I heard this definition, but the definition of anivus that I've always liked is not that you think you're a nobody. Okay, gaiva means that you think you're a somebody. Okay, me. That's gava. What anava is, I know who I am, but I don't make a big deal about it. Okay, that's what anava is. My classic story is the Rav Moshe Feinstein story, where Rabbi Tendler told us, which is that Rav Moshe needed to have a pacemaker. And he was very hesitant. He didn't want to get a pacemaker. And Rabbi Tendler said, the family said to him, like, what? You know, you need it. Like, you're having trouble. You need it, and it'll be good for you. And he says, I don't want to do it. And then finally, they pushed him. He says, why? Why don't you want the pacemaker? And he says, because Mashiach's going to come, and they're going to reestablish, they're going to build Beis Mikdash, you need a Sanhedrin. And, you know, remember the Sanhedrin can't be a Baal Mum. And I don't, and they said, he says, it's not about, this isn't me. The whole world's asking me questions. So if they're asking me their Shilas, then I must be somebody who everybody's going to be turning to. So if they're all asking me, then of course they're going to turn to me. But he's not saying, well, Moses Feinstein, Sanhedrin. He's saying, there seems to be nobody else. So I'm, not that there's nobody else, obviously you need to have 70, but I'm going to be one of them, because there aren't 70 people that they're coming to.
Well, there won't be if I have this moon.
Right. So they said that, no, it doesn't make you a Baal Mum, you can get the pacemaker, and he got it, and Baruch Hashem. Okay, but anyway, the point is, he's not saying, me, I'm going to be a Sanhedrin. He's saying, everybody's turning to me, so I have to know who I am. I'm the guy that everybody turns to. Okay, that doesn't mean me. So that's what it means to be an anuf. Okay. What?
Remember, Trusky from Denver used to say the Valkyrie that what you're looking for is the ability to look behind you,
mm-hmm.
when you get the press. No. Look ahead of you and see all the people in front of you.
Right.
And before you get depressed.
Look who's behind you. Right. I'm me. Okay. Okay. So you can't have any guy whatsoever. Everybody, Abba tells us in Dalad, that everybody should be humble in front of everybody. Turn the page. How are we doing on time wise? Okay, I knew we were okay. Well, the Divrei Rabbi Alexandria. No, we're doing fine. We're going to finish this, and then we'll leave everything. I'll just point out the stuff which I put in bold. Well, the Divrei Rabbi Alexandria. Shim Shalai Yetzirah L'Suor Shabbat Isa. So Rabbi Alexandria in the Gemara said that the Yetzirah is like the sourdough which rises. Nuchalamash Kach Asur Gam Hamashu. He says this is why even the Mashu, when you're not allowed to have chametz, you can't have any whatsoever. Because based on the midrash in Bereshis Rabba, mitchila domer hayitzahara lechut shel akavish, dahainu mashu. Right? This is what.
Yeah,
I think it's a spider. Yeah. Okay, the thread of the spider. Okay, that first the yitzahara is like the thread of a spider. Dahainu mashu. V'ahagachu hu mibatzbeitz va'ola anshiye kavosos ha'agala biyala chamaz. Gever lame mirpa. Okay, what does a spider web do? What's the image of a spider web? You get tangled up in the web of destruction. You can't get out. Alkein lo ye katan beinei adam afilu mashu mimenu ki ma'at minasor mibatzbeitz v'ola kamor. He says you can't view yourself in a way that you're not. Umitam zehayu mevim al karban toda shloshim chalos matzos. And he says, for the carbon toda, they bring 30 matzah loaves. He eats al arbash et tzrichin hodos nemar vayichana ba'amal libam. For the four that need to bring a carbon toda, it says that they had to submit through the work of their heart. And after they had that submission, then they would bring 30 chalos of matzah. Ve'ulai u'keneged ha'malchus sheniknes b'shloshim malos. V'hem kolim kolmine yisnasus ha'shayachim l'melech. If you look in Avos, I think that there's 48 ways of getting Torah, right? And there are 30 ways of acquiring malchus. So that's what he's referring to. I think is that in Perek Vav? Okay. V'hem kolim kolmine yisnasus ha'shayachim l'melech. V'zeh mizgaeh echa b'kulam ob miktasam. So somebody who is haughty in one or through you know throughout or in a part of them, achar shenichna ba'amalibo yavish shloshim matzah samorim malachnalam lomar shalom shabahem arachad afilu mashu einbo. He says the 30 matzahs are meant to indicate that there's no gaiva left. Ve'eser shalchametz hamore al haromimus vahisnasus vehisnasus liten kol agdula varomus l'sibar rishona yisbarach akalul be'eser sfiros. And he says, so he says, what's the 10 chalas for, the chametz ones? So he brings in these Kabbalistic ideas, which indicate Romamus, Visnasus, right? It's kind of celebration with God. Mitamzeh matzah siman geula v'cheres b'kol makom heim yitzias mitzrayim heim b'karban toda. So he said the matzah represents redemption and freedom in every way, whether it's leaving Egypt or in the karban toda. K'moshen emar yomru goale Hashem geula Hashem asher goalam yatzar. Right, that's the Tilum Kaf Zayin, as I mentioned before, the Yom Ha'atzmaut chapter. V'zeh koya kol arba shetzrichim hodos shenigalu ba'avur shenichna ba'amel libam akenu makriv chalos matzahs. Right, if you think about it, the four people who need to bring karban toda. Right, somebody who's in prison, somebody who is crossing the sea, somebody who's crossing the desert, and somebody who's ill. Okay, what do these people do? What do they? Why do they bring Korban Todah? Because they look at their situation and they say, God, there's no way I'm getting out of this. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's one way.
No.
Okay?
I'm
you.
My own.
Okay, right?
On my own.
No, they're saying, yeah, that.
There's no way I'm going
to
get out of
this. Oh, on my own, right. There's no way I'm getting it out of this. Yes, okay, finishing that sentence. There's no way I'm getting out of this on my own. It's only if you show up and you help me. So the person is basically, right, it's like no atheist in a foxhole kind of situation. There's only one way that I'm getting out of this, and it's with you. And if I'm going to do that, what they're essentially doing is they have to submit everything about them. Al-Kenu makriv chalos matzos. Hein b'menachos ki al-yidea karbonos nigal adam miyad yetzer hara. Asher mitzuda so prusa alav. And when a person gives menachos, that's the through the karbanos, a person is redeemed from the hands of the Yetzirah. Asher, this is that image. Remember, we saw the spider before. Asher mitzuda so prusa alav. The net of the Yetzirah is spread over you. The lakto to entrap you. B'chavle oni to in the pangs of pain and suffering. V'yotze lecheirus mina yisurin or mina malchus or mina malchamavus. And the person somehow breaks free from all these oppressions upon him through God's help. But through the help of the karban that brings him to his broken heart, submission to God. That's why the menachos, with menachos you have matzah. And there's no chametz whatsoever because of the complete submission. Okay, so it's just amazing images and powerful images to think about. What does it mean to submit to the Rabbona Shel Olam and to say, I can do whatever I want in my lifetime, but in the end, I can't go it alone. There's a fellow that I knew, passed away a number of years ago. I actually spoke about him once in Shul, who I knew when he was around 85, and he. I remember one time he told me. He was a man who was obviously getting on in years, and his health wasn't so great. And he started learning Daf Yomi around that time. He actually finished Shas, and shortly after he finished the cycle, Daf Yomi passed away. It's just an incredible story. He started learning Daf Yomi when he was 86. Okay, started. It was the first time. And he got to 93, finished Daf Yomi. He lived a little longer after that. But what is it? What does it take? And I remember him saying to me, he's looking at me. I must have been 27. You kids don't know what it means until you realize that there's nothing in life except for you and the Rabbanu Shel Olam. That's it. And halavai, I should get there, right? The Yetzer Hara is still calling, and I'm still losing every single battle. But halavai, we should get there, and that's the point that we're trying to see. You have to realize. What is it? What is a goal in life? To be the matzah and to defeat the chametz, and as much as chametz tastes good, but to realize what we should hopefully be able to achieve. And I'm not going to get into it, but if you just look back quickly on the top of page 3, you see that he talks about this with respect to the different karbanos, zos toras ha'olah. Ha'olah, he Allah Magda, call him his God, he done be'esh. Ha'olah mechaperes al gasa ruach, right? What is an olah? Olah means to go up. Because what's the gasa saruach? That's when you're trying to bring yourself up. And he has a lot of symbolism in all this. Ki hatikun hu adeshen. What's deshen? That they have to take away the deshen. The deshen is the ashes. And where do you have the image of ashes in the Torah? Avram. Avram says, Anochi afar v'efer. What's the goal in life? To be the afar v'efer, like Avram was in front of the Rabbanu Shalom. So part of the tikkun and the karban of the ola is to have the deshen, the ashes scraped off, because that's part of what it means to be hamashpil atzmo. Because if you bring yourself down, you say, I'm ashes, what does he say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Magbiyo. And the Kaddish Baruch brings you up. And this is one of the beautiful lessons that he just brings throughout the Parsha to show us what does it mean to be an Eved Hashem, what does it mean to be a person who submits to God, to realize when I've done wrong, that it's okay. It's okay to submit and to say I'm wrong and I need to get back on track. And how to get back on track? By getting closer to Ribono Shel Olam. And hopefully, it's just a beautiful lesson we get from Parsha Sav. It's not just about Korbanos, not just about stuff which doesn't relate to us, but it's about a life that we live aware of where our goal is and what does it take to get there. Our goal is to be with the Ribono Shel Olam and as close to Ribono Shel Olam as possible. We get there. He lifts us up through our bringing ourselves down. Our bringing ourselves down, not to say I'm a nothing, but to say I'm humble and to recognize who I am, what I am, what I can achieve, what I can do. Hopefully, if we do that right through humility, we can achieve greatness.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.